us as we look to God's word today. Matthew 7, beginning with verse 24. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house. Yet it did not fall because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash. Let's bow our hearts together and let's ask God's blessing to be with us as we look to his word this morning. Father, we thank you so much in the name of Jesus for your goodness and grace. Thank you for being with us here today. And thank you, Lord, for your just your love and mercy extended to us at all times. As we go through this year of testing, we ask God that you would not only show us, Lord, what we need to see, but that you would strengthen our hearts and that you would guide our prayers so that we as a church and we as a nation, Lord Jesus, might change and grow and become everything that you've called us to be. And we ask this in Jesus' holy name. Amen and amen. Praise God. Now, let me just say a few things before we get into the points of the message this morning. Number one, when I started this, the election was not decided, and it's still not settled yet, and I'll just leave it there. However, having said that, I'm not going to talk about fraud or courts or ballots or those types of things. I'll leave that to the courts, but we'll pray about it and encourage you to do that as well. We need to continue to pray for President Trump, Vice President Biden. We need to pray for the Senate, for the will of God to be done. We won't be talking today about different political positions, you know, taxes, global matters, and those types of things. And let me say this at the beginning. There's a good chance that one or more of the things that I might say as I just share things that are on my heart this morning that you will not agree with. And I just want to say that's okay. You don't have to agree with them. And that's the great thing about living in our country, at least right now, and a good thing about being a Christian and in preaching and teaching the Word of God. Whenever someone teaches and preaches the Word of God, it is important for us as we receive it to make sure that it lines up with the Word of God. And many of the things that I'm going to share is the Word of God, but some things are my opinion, especially a couple things, but most is based on Scripture, and so it's okay that we don't agree, and that's fine. That's fine by me. But as I mentioned, it has been an unprecedented year as far as trial and difficulty on this earth, and I believe, and in this country, and in the church. And I believe God has been shaking, and is still continuing to shake. It began in February, and it continues now. And let me tell you, this week, my hope and my prayer, if I can be honest with you this morning, my hope and my prayer was that this election would be decided conclusively, and that we could move on. And guess what? It didn't happen. In fact, not only did it happen, but whomever is inaugurated president on January the 3rd or the 20th or whatever date it is, a good portion of the electorate in the United States will not accept the results. There will always be a cloud of uncertainty over this election. I prayed, I cried out to God, oh God, please. You know what God said to me, not so much in words, but in the results? I'm not done shaking this country, and I'm not done shaking the church yet. It still needs to be shaken. In fact, I almost shared as a text this morning, Hebrews chapter 12, where it talks about anything that can be shaken will be shaken. As I mentioned, this we're going through a global pandemic. And although it's not the most lethal disease that there is, it has affected every aspect of our society. It has affected the economy. People have lost their jobs. People have lost their businesses. The stock market has gone crazy, although jobs are coming back and the stock market is going up. And in addition to the health issues that are associated with COVID, there are people who have physical issues, who have medical conditions, and they're getting delayed as far as being either diagnosed or treated because of COVID and because of the fear of COVID. In fact, one of the craziest things, I'm going to try not to get too anecdotal this morning, but, you know, over a week ago, I went in, a week ago, not this past Monday, but the prior Monday, for them to look at this port, and they said, well, we need to take it out. And they said, we can take it out two ways. We can give you a couple shots and just take it out, or we can give you anesthesia. So I said, well, it's been in for over 11 years. I think I want the anesthesia. And they said, okay, if we take it out today, we can do it right now. If we have to use anesthesia, we have to wait a week because you have to have a COVID test. Mind you, it's the port that was infected. What's the day? I was going to have it at the very same place, in the very same room. But because of COVID, I had to go an extra day to have the vancomycin, the antibiotic pumped into me, and then wait extra days for this infected thing to be removed from me. COVID's had a serious effect on people's mental health. It has increased stress on our lives, stress with, you know, job, with finances, with health. People are afraid. I'm not sure if I told you, but, you know, I went to one doctor's office and, you know, I had a mask on, and I walked up and the lady got up and said, 6 feet, and then she grabbed a spray and she sprayed her body with some kind of disinfectant. I thought, my goodness, have we come to this? People are seeing an increase in compulsive, not good, compulsive behaviors because of everything that's going on. People aren't getting the sleep that they need. There's stress on marriages. There's stress between parents and children. There are issues with childcare because moms and dads are working and schools sometimes are in, sometimes aren't. Stressed with finances. And then the people who are in most need by both situation and scriptural mandate. People who are in the hospital, people who are in nursing homes, people who are in prison, cannot have visitation by friends, family, or in many cases, clergy because of this disease. And it's been hard on the church. Attendance is down, and I thank God for every one of you, and I thank God for those who tune in. And not that attendance is everything, but, you know, and we're not about numbers for numbers' sake. I mean, I want to be careful how I say that. Some people view numbers as a badge of honor for themselves and not for God's glory. And that's not what we're about. But we do understand the importance of God's people coming together. And people coming to church and hearing about Jesus. And this has put a wet blanket on those things. Thank God we've been able to fellowship. But there are some people who are still keeping in contact online. And there are some people who are still visiting with one another. And I hope that continues. But there are some people who are just out there twisting in the wind. And they are absolutely having no godly influence in their lives from another believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, which is necessary. We need to be, all of us, need to be connected. We all need fellowship. And some people especially need greater accountability in their lives as far as serving the Lord. And think about what COVID has done to outreach this year. We were set in, was it October? We're going to go out downtown after a very, very successful outreach in August. And all of a sudden, because of COVID and you know, just the fear of not so much the disease, but because of, you know, there was the surge in cases in Norwich, we decided against it. And other instances and opportunities to share. You know, I mean, it's hard to share Jesus when you have to maintain 6-foot distance from people. And not only that, you can yell at them, but your testimony is going to be like this. Have you thought about spiritual things lately? And then looking at the racial strife that's going on, there's been division. Not only in our country, but in the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I hate to say it because I don't like to air dirty laundry, but there's no sense in hiding things. We need to bring them to light so God can deal with them and the church can pray for them and God can deal with them. But even pastors, born again pastors, spirit filled pastors, are arguing how to deal with COVID or how to solve the racial strife that is going on, and even arguing over the results of the election. And it's a whole other ball of wax. You know, the two things that you can't talk about without getting in a fight. Number one is religion. Number two is politics. Well, how can you not? We have an election that's going on. Just can't pretend it's not there. Well, you know, is there an election? Either appear as a fool, or I hate to use the word, but I can't think of another one, or ignoramus. Let me share with you, despite everything that's going on, several things. Number one, regardless of what's happened with the disease, and I know some people feel, I even had people in the healthcare industry say this, I don't think things will ever be normal again, you know, with the masks and the distancing and all this. And sometimes we look at the divide between people of color, and we're all people of color, and we're all human beings, and if we're covered by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, we're all brothers and sisters in Christ. I think it's so foolish. It's sinful to look down on someone because they don't look like you. And it's foolish to argue about that. We're all one in Christ. We should have moved beyond this years ago. Will there ever be healing between the different skin colors in our country? And then we wonder, as far as the direction of our country, what is going to happen? And I know for myself, I have a big question as far as what lies in store for believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know what God says in response to all these things? Nothing has changed. Let me read to you Isaiah chapter 45, verses 5 through 7. We, you know, a lot of times we think things have happened. And, you know, the world is coming to an end. Especially, you know, and I especially think of the election. The election didn't change anything. It just exposed where people are as far as their beliefs. Same with COVID. Same with the racial thing. Nothing's changed. It's just shown where we are as a nation, where we are as a people, where we are as a church. But I can tell you one thing that hasn't changed, and that is God, that is His power, and that is His rule. Isaiah 45, verses 5 through 7, I am the Lord. There is no other. Apart from me, there is no God. I will strengthen you, though you have not acknowledged me, so that from the rising of the sun to the place of its setting, men may know there is none besides me. I am the Lord, and there is no other. I form the light and create darkness. I bring prosperity and create disaster. I, the Lord, do these things. What is this saying? God is still God. And God, despite COVID, despite riots, despite the election and the recounts and all the things that are going on, is in complete control of every situation. And God is working in a way to bring about His purposes on this earth. In fact, I said this in the first service this morning, and I'll say it again. If your hope lies, if your hope or your fear lies in a certain political candidate, then your faith is misplaced. My hope and my faith is Jesus. Am I disappointed with election results all the time? Pretty habitually here in the state of Connecticut. But has that diminished my faith in Jesus? That Jesus is in control of every situation? Absolutely not. And then when that tries to rise up, I need to get in the Word. Amen. And allow the Lord to restore and replace and strengthen my faith. Secondly, the presidency is neither won or stolen. It's given. I used to be a wrestling fan growing up. Saturday morning, I'd watch those matches where, you know, where the big guy kind of squashes the little guy. Come on. I even went to a few shows. In fact, one of the first wrestling matches I saw, I was just a kid, and it was a guy named Gorilla Monsoon versus the Spoiler. He was a masked man, and his thing was the Iron Claw. But not too long ago, you know, sometimes you just put on crazy stuff on YouTube, and I listened to an old wrestler who was very successful and very well known give an interview. And this wrestler never won a championship, never won the championship belt. And the interviewer said, "Does that bother you that you never won?" He said, "No, it doesn't bother me at all." He said, "The reason it doesn't bother me is because no one has ever won a championship belt. No one's ever beaten everyone. No one's ever beaten anyone. No one's ever lost anyone." Now, I know for some of you, this might be a shock. But we're told when we're going to win, when we're going to lose, and how we're going to do it. And it doesn't, you know. Guy could be champion, he could be the worst wrestler in the world, but if the promoter says you're going to be the champion, he's going to be the champion. We need to look at the elections through the eyes of Christ and not the eyes of man. Let me tell you, there's a strong potential for there to be a lot of bitterness regarding the results of the election. And I see it on there, you know, all kinds of stuff on there, and may the truth be known. I pray the truth comes out. I think we have to be careful that we be edifying when we talk about the truth. But when people are put or rise to places of power, they are put there by God and not man. Psalm 75, verses 6 and 7, no one from the east or the west from the desert can exalt a man, but it is God who judges. He brings down one, he exalts another. Daniel says something very similar in Acts chapter 2. And God, I know this sometimes isn't palatable to you and me as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. But God has both, as we look at the history of Israel and Judah, and also the history of the empires of the world, God has put both evil and righteous kings as leaders of his people. In fact, all the leaders, including the first leader of the northern kingdom of Israel, was put there by God, chosen by God, anointed by God, and he was an idolater. Was that God's will for him to do that? Absolutely not. And if you look at their lives, some wicked men who became leaders, and I thank God for God's grace in my life, but also theirs, came to the Lord Jesus Christ. I think of the son of, I mentioned Hezekiah, his son was the most wicked king Judah ever saw. He was a man named Manasseh. An occultist, an idolater, wicked, evil, killed babies. Near the end of his life, God humbled him and he turned to the Lord and God restored him to his kingship. In other instances, there were good and godly kings who did what was right in the eyes of God and they turned from the Lord. King Uzziah came down with leprosy. King Asa, when he contracted a disease in his feet, sought not the Lord, but sought the doctors and relied on other nations for deliverance instead of the Lord. We need to remember that God's ways are our ways, and it's God who lifts up one and brings down another, and whoever is sworn into office at the beginning of the year, it will be by the will of God. We may not like it, we may not agree with it, they may not be righteous, but God is still in control. Thirdly, and this is a little personal thing that I just want to share with you. I felt it was important to share with the young people. This election has reminded me about the power of the tongue. James chapter 3, verse 5, the Bible says, "Likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boasts. Consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark." Proverbs goes on to say, and does say a number of things about our speech, but in chapter 21, verse 23, the Bible says, "He who guards his mouth and his tongue keeps himself from calamity." Tuesday night, I went to pick up my daughter at her job, and the election was still going on. And at that point, I think they hadn't even called Florida yet. And she got in the car, and of course, with our kids, we're always looking for those teachable moments. And I felt it was a teachable moment for her. And I said to her, we talked about the election, we all went to vote earlier in the day. And I said to her, "Honey, President Trump, this shouldn't even be close. I mean, the economy did well, wonderful things happened in the Middle East, things people thought were crazy, like the China tariffs ended up working out good, other things happened. He should have won easily, but he didn't watch his mouth." It is, you can destroy, and we've seen this, especially now, you can destroy your reputation and destroy your future with careless words. He who can control his tongue can control his entire body. And I know President Trump is who he is. And there are things about all of us that we just kind of can't help ourselves. But I firmly believe that if he controlled his tongue more, and I think regardless if you're a supporter or not a supporter of President Trump, everyone would agree that he says things that should not be said in a way that should not be said. And it hurt him, and I believe It's one of the things that may have cost him the presidency. It's important that with our mouths we're honest, we're truthful, but we're also gracious and we're polite. And those things are laid out for us in the Word of God. And I think we need to let our younger people know that in the name of Jesus, because their words can ruin them. Fourthly, I'd like to talk about the testing of America's heart as it relates to righteousness. What many of these things, especially the election, has shown is that the human heart is wicked. Jeremiah 17, 9 and 10. The heart is more deceitful above all things and beyond cure. Who can understand it? I, the Lord, search the heart and examine the mind to reward a man according to his conduct, according to what his deeds deserve. Every election is a season of testing where the heart of a people, a nation, a state, and a city is exposed. And as it relates to sin, some people say that all sin is the same. There's no sin worse than any other. And I have to disagree with you. There are certain sins that God classifies as abominations, and those are things that are particularly detestable to the Lord. In the book of Proverbs, chapter 6, God lists 6 detestable things that God hates. And in verse 17, one of those things that God hates, or one of those things that God finds an abomination, are hands that shed innocent blood. And we are up to our neck in the blood of innocence through the sin of abortion. And with every election that is made, America's heart concerning the shedding of innocent blood is exposed. And we are often, if not always, found wanting. Think of our own state, the state of Connecticut. Practically all of our Democratic representatives, I know there's at least one, I think, in the Hartford area, who is pro-life, endorsed by the Family Research Council or by the Connecticut Family Institute. And a majority of the Republican people who have been elected all are for abortion. Not sure if unrestricted, but are for the taking of innocent human life. In the state of Colorado, there was a referendum that people could vote on. And Colorado is considered a battleground state or a purple state, a state that is somewhat evenly divided between conservative people and liberal people. And they had a referendum to vote on a law that would ban abortion after 22 weeks when the baby, or the fetus, you can call it a fetus or a baby, I don't care. It's all semantics anyways. Where the baby has matured to the point where he or she can live outside the womb. And those who were for pro-life were able to get that on the ballot to ban abortions after that period, except for the case of the life of the mother. I'm not sure about the health of the mother, but the life of the mother. Not only did it not pass, it was voted down overwhelmingly, almost 60%. That means 6 out of every 10 or 3 out of every 5 people thought that abortion should be at any time during pregnancy. In fact, in some states, like the state of Virginia, they're even okay with a baby being born alive through an abortion procedure and allowed to die. And our Congress also supports that, where they did not support the Born Alive Act. That's where we are as a nation. I know Vice President Biden at one time was a moderate when it came to abortion, where he supported the Hyde Amendment, which forbid overseas funding of abortions. He also voted against the partial birth abortion ban. But there are strong indications that his views are not moderating. His views are becoming more extreme, and he's supporting more unrestricted abortion, which is in the Democratic Party plank. I think it was in that. Our country is saturated in the blood of the innocents. Another abomination. One more thing about abortion. And I'm sorry for taking, these last 2 weeks we've been taking time, but I think these are very important topics and issues. Even in the evangelical church, there are people who are making excuses where it's okay for Christians to vote for pro-abortion candidates. God help us. And there's another, there are several abominations, but there's another abomination that that many circles in the church are, definitely our country and many areas of the church are compromising on, and that's the issue of homosexuality. Now, we love homosexual people, and God loves them. God doesn't care where you come from, what you've done, he'll save you. But the lifestyle is inconsistent with God's word and declared by God's word as an abomination. I firmly believe that there'll be some time in the near future where what I just said will be considered a crime, and I could be either fined or imprisoned for it. I could really see that happening. 74.5 million people voted for Vice President Biden. And this isn't a criticism, this is just saying how it is. One of the things that Vice President Biden said was a priority during his first 100 days was to sign into law the Human Rights Act, which extends civil protections and basic protections for people on race, creed, religion, etc. Now also including homosexual, transgender, bisexual. And the scope of that law is quite sweeping. It is saying that in the case of like the Colorado baker or the florist, that if someone comes to you and wants you to perform or do or make something for something that you are morally opposed to because of your sincere religious convictions, you can be fined, imprisoned, or lose your business. It's already happening in states. This would make the law national. And one of the most terrible things, reading the some writings from the Heritage Foundation, this law will also make it much easier for young children who are experiencing or who have a condition called gender dysphoria. And what gender dysphoria is, it's a mental condition where you're not sure if what gender you are. If you're, even though you're have male DNA and male anatomy, you think you're a girl, or if you know you're physically a girl, you think you're a boy. And we live in a society today that says it's okay to change how God created you. And that's terrible. You know, mutilates your body. And this will make it much easier for children to go ahead and begin the process with both drugs and surgeries at a very young age. Let me share with you something. I thought it was very interesting that Senator Harris yesterday said, "We are the party of science." They're not the party of science. If they were the party of science, they would ban abortion because that is a human life that you are killing. And when it comes to gender dysphoria, depending on the study, between 80 to 95% of children, young children, prepubescent children who experience gender dysphoria, between 80 and 95% after they go through puberty are fine with the gender that they received at birth. And here, because of the politics, and it's all purely politics, has nothing to do with science, we are putting our children at risk. And 74.5 million Americans are okay with that. We have seen also, and this is something that has not been seen, God is dealing severely with the church. And I'm not just talking about social distancing and masks and Zoom meetings. Obviously, that's part of it. Obviously, there's tension because of the race issue now. But I think this would have gotten more coverage, national media coverage, if it wasn't for the election and the COVID in the riots. But I believe this past year and a half, has been very possibly an unprecedented year of scandal and evil that has come to light within the church. And I'm not talking about the Roman Catholic Church. I'm talking about born-again churches that believe in the Bible and preach the gospel. There have been a series of moral failures. In fact, a huge one just came to light a few days ago. I don't know if anyone saw it. Anyone see it? Pastors accused, credibly accused of sexual harassment. In fact, one major pastor admitting to it. And I'm talking about very well-known pastors and very well-known leaders and heads of very well-known churches or ministries. Financial impropriety. The world is seeing this, and God is bringing it to light. God is shaking his church. Pastors who abuse their staff and their congregations. And I don't mean sexually, and I don't mean physically, but people who use their position of power to manipulate and bully and intimidate their people. And at least one instance of a very ugly and public lawsuit between two churches and two pastors. God has exposed that his church is not where it should be. Matthew 12, verse 25 says, Jesus knew their thoughts and said to them, every kingdom divided against itself will be ruined, and every city or household divided against itself will not stand. These things have shown that we are a deeply divided country. COVID, race, the election. These things didn't cause the divisions that are among us. What they did was expose them. And do you know what the root cause of division is? It's pride. Now, it's important that we be unified and that we be a one mind and one body, but we can't be unified under sin. Well, let's all just join with the heathen and we'll be... And people tried that at the Tower of Babel and they failed. Amen? We need to be united under God. And there is no, it is, not only is there no sign in the natural, it appears that it is impossible for the fissures that have developed between the various groups politically, racially, spiritually in our country to ever come together. which is a death knell to the church. A house divided cannot stand. I mean, the church will go on, but the church as it is now, but also the country. That's always been said, if America is going to fall, it's going to fall from within, and it has been divided and may end up conquering itself. But having said that, with man it might be impossible, but with God all things are possible. I don't want to leave today with all gloom and doom, because there is hope. One thing, there's hope with COVID. I think right now where we are with COVID and the medicines and treatments that they have come up with, survival rate still deadly, still something to take very seriously, but over 99% recovery rate. Praise God. Isn't that wonderful? Amen. And in the House, the election, there's things to take out of that. Do you know in the House of Representatives that 14 pro-life women for the first time were elected? And not only were they elected, they were voted in pro, they won seats from pro-abortion incumbents. In fact, not only has there been 14 pro-life women already elected, there's a possibility that 5 more pro-life people might be voted to our Congress. Isn't that wonderful? Who did it? God did that. And in Louisiana, little Louisiana, I talked about Colorado. And everybody, oh, Colorado's great, it's beautiful, and all this stuff. And then Louisiana, the bayou and whatnot. The governor of Louisiana, John Bel Edwards, I believe is his name. He, along with his legislation, passed, I think it was a couple of years ago, the most pro-life legislation that there is. Unfortunately, it was overturned by the past Supreme Court. And then in this election, a state senator, Katrina Jackson, sponsored legislation to put into the Louisiana, not the U.S., but the Louisiana Constitution, that the Constitution in Louisiana does not guarantee women can have an abortion. Basically, laying the groundwork that if abortion is ever made illegal, that Louisiana can keep abortion out of its borders. And it passed. And you know what's even more surprising? That Governor Bel Edwards and Senator Katrina Jackson are both Democrats. Despite the fact that their party has as their political platform no restriction to abortion, they are the most pro-life people seemingly and have some of the greatest courage in the nation to stand up for the unborn. There's hope. In the name of Jesus. I don't want to get political today, but there's even hope for the Democratic Party. Let me end by just saying this morning. Number one, we've all been shaken. It has been a tough year. And in addition to all the other stuff, all these major things that are going on, you all have had things going, all the stuff that you've had going on in your lives are still going on. Some of us have suffered loss. Some of us have gone through sickness. Some of us have had you know, individual challenges, personal challenges. Keep on the solid foundation of the Lord Jesus Christ. The winds will blow, the rain will come. If your house is built on the Lord, if you keep walking with Jesus, you keep in the Word, you keep fellowship, keep serving Jesus, God will bring, it's going to get tough. Shaking's not over, but God will get you through. Secondly, if this year has shown us anything, it's that we need to be praying like we've never prayed before. If my people, who are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray seek my face, turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, I will forgive their sin, and I will heal their land. Let us pray that there's not only healing and unity in the church under God's righteous banner, but also let us pray that our country would repent, turn to God, and be healed. Amen? Would you stand with me this morning?